Our historic diocesan synod is now complete. Last Thursday and Friday, over 200 participants, priests, deacons, consecrated religious men and women, and lay faithful from every parish in the diocese gathered in Mankato for our historic diocesan synod on evangelization and vocations. Just 40 hours ago, the over 200 delegates to the synod voted on 30 practical proposals regarding evangelization and vocations in our diocese. We hope to receive the results of our voting sometime next week, and over the coming months, Bishop Barron intends to issue a pastoral letter describing his vision and the clear direction forward regarding evangelization and vocations in our diocese. So stay tuned. In a happy act of divine providence, the first reading for today's Mass is all about evangelization and vocations. The first reading today is from the very last chapter of a very long scroll of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. It's the longest scroll in the whole Bible. In the Middle Ages, the monks divided the scroll of Isaiah into 66 chapters. And today's first reading are the very last verses, 18 through 21. It's not a surprise that the long scroll of Isaiah ends exactly as it began in chapter 2. Isaiah has a vision of all the peoples of the world coming to Jerusalem to praise and worship the one true God. In my Bible, there's a heading that says, God gathers the nations. God is gathering people from the east and the west, the north and the south, to himself. Thus says the Lord, I come to gather nations of every language and race and people and tongue. They shall come and see my glory. I will send missionaries to the distant coastlands that have never heard of my fame or seen my glory. They shall bring all of your brothers and sisters from all the nations as an offering to the Lord, to Jerusalem, to my holy mountain. Some of these I will take as priests and Levites, says the Lord. There it is. This is evangelization. To the nations that have never heard of Jesus or seen his glory, we have to tell them the good news. They shall bring all of your brothers and sisters from all the nations. Those who have never heard of Jesus or seen his glory will become our brothers and sisters in baptism. Today's responsorial psalm, taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verse 15, summarizes this mission of evangelization perfectly. Go out to all the world and tell the good news. Because the word gospel means good news, we could have said go out to all the world and proclaim the gospel. And since the word gospel is from the Greek word evangelion, we could have said go out to all the world and evangelize. Evangelize, gospel, good news, they all mean the same thing. And what's the good news? Father Burke used to scream that out when we were in homiletics course. He'd sit in the very back pew, and as we were practicing homilies, he would scream out, what's the good news? What's the good news? It's Jesus Christ, truly risen from the dead. That's the good news. He is risen indeed. Death has been destroyed forever. Your sins can now be forgiven, if you choose to accept it. And if you choose to believe in Jesus and the power of his death and resurrection, he promises he will open for you the doors to eternal life. This is the good news that we want to proclaim to all the nations. At the end of the first reading, God says, some of these I will take as priests and Levites. Priests and Levites, they're not the same, right? All priests were Levites, but not all Levites were priests. Does that make sense? In ancient Israel, every priest was taken from among the men of the tribe of Levi, but not all Levites became priests. The Levites assisted the priests with various tasks in the temple. They cared for the sacred vessels. They prepared the sacrifice. They maintained the temple grounds. They served as guards and gatekeepers of the temple. They were porters. They held the keys to the temple. The Levites played a crucial role in musical worship at the temple. They led the singing and played instruments. The Levites were responsible for teaching the Torah, the law, to the people. But the offering of the sacrifice was reserved for the priests. The offering of the sacrifice was reserved for the priests alone. Members of the tribe of Levi, who were direct descendants of Aaron, Moses' brother. That last verse of Isaiah today is radical. Some of these I will take as priests and Levites, says the Lord. What does that mean? That some of the pagan Gentiles, whom the Lord will gather from all the nations, God will take as priests. Isaiah predicts that even non-Jews would be invited to become priests. This foreshadows the way for our ministerial priesthood in the sacrament of holy orders in the new covenant. So as we increase our efforts in this diocese in evangelization, going out to the east and the west, the north and the south, to the whole world and telling the good news, we will need some of these men to become priests. Some of these evangelized and catechized men the Lord wants as priests who will give their lives to full-time service to the gospel. They will give their lives to full-time sanctification, teaching, and governing. You know what the synod, Bishop Barron, said that last May he ordained 3 men to the priesthood. But as of July 1st, 4 priests of our diocese retired, became senior status priests. So, I'm not very good at math, but that's a net loss of 1. The next 5 years, the bishop said at least 10 priests will retire. That's an average of 2 per year. Bishop Barron said at the synod, without the ordained ministerial priesthood, there is no Eucharist. And without the Eucharist, there is no church. Because the church is the Eucharist. The Eucharist is the source and the summit, the beginning and the fulfillment of the church's entire life. So no priesthood, no Eucharist, and no Eucharist, no church. Some of these I will take as priests, says the Lord. The Camp Summit. And at the Steubenville Conference in Rochester during the summer, these are camps and conferences for our young people in junior high and high school. The young men are always encouraged to consider a vocation to the priesthood. And toward the end of the conference, they are invited to come forward if they're considering or thought about a priestly vocation. It's inspiring to see how many men come forward. What men from our parishes right now does the Lord want to take as priests? Maybe you are the man that the Lord wants as a priest. At the synod, we sat at tables with no more than 2 clerics per table. There were people at my table from across the diocese that I've never met. It was a great, great blessing to get to know them. And at one point in our lively discussion, there was a holy grandfather at my table who asked, "What can I do?" I wanted to go over and give him a hug. Up until that point, we were saying, well, what can the diocese do to promote evangelization and vocations? What can the bishop do? The bishop should do this, right? What can the parish do to promote evangelization and vocations? What can the priest do to promote evangelization and vocations? And this grandfather said, you know, the question I've been asking myself is, what can I do? Brilliant. I should have given him a holy card. God is giving each person the grace to do something. That's the question. What can I do? What can I do? Pray. Don't underestimate the power of prayer. And fasting. Did anybody fast on Friday when the Pope asked us to? The Pope, the Supreme Pontiff, said we are to fast on Fridays for world peace. Don't underestimate the power of fasting for evangelization and vocations. What can you do? Invite someone to come to Mass to you. One person. One person. Say, hey, going to Mass at 8 this morning, and I'll take you out to breakfast afterwards. Easy. Right? Or even better, say, hey, one person, I'm going to confession at 4 this afternoon. You want to come with me? We have Bible study on Wednesdays. One person, come join our Bible study. Or you want to teach with me? We need 2 teachers on Wednesday nights. Why don't you teach with me? Or maybe you want to do some pre-evangelization work and serve the meal on Tuesday evenings. Or perhaps even invite a young man to consider that God might be calling him to be a priest. You know what this grandfather said at the table? He's like, well, I can't teach, and I'm no good at these things. You know what I can do, he said? I can evangelize my grandchildren. Brilliant. Wanted to give him a hug. That's it. Good. That's what you can do. He said, I'm going to evangelize my grandchildren. Brilliant. Your homework this week is to consider, what can you do? What can I do? Ask the question personally. What can I do to promote evangelization and vocations in this diocese? Go out to all the world and tell the good news.